Well, good morning. Happy Monday. Did you all get to enjoy some of this 60-degree weather this weekend on Saturday? I will take that. Words are cheap. Have you heard this before? Do you know what I'm talking about? Maybe you say, I am going to be a healthier person, but you just quite can't kick that late-night Taco Bell run. When that friend always says they want to hang out with you, but they never actually make plans with you. When you set those New Year's resolutions with zeal, but then you realize it's now the end of January and you haven't started them yet. Words are cheap. My dog, I have a dog, and she is the best. She is this black lab golden retriever mix named Charlie. And when Derek and I brought her home as a six-week-old puppy, we decided right then and there that we were going to be excellent dog owners. We pored over books on how to train a puppy, and we spent hours teaching her all the rules on how to be a dog. And most importantly, we committed to taking her out twice every day to walk the neighborhood and run around and chase a ball or get her energy out somehow. And we said that we would treat her well, and in return, she treats us so well. She is my therapy dog. She is the friendliest, happiest dog you will ever meet. But this August, her life turned upside down the minute that we walked through the door with a brand new baby boy. New babies are a lot of work. And so we, unfortunately, don't have time to take sweet Charlie out twice a day anymore. She has been demoted to dog. And let me tell you, she reminds me of this every single morning when I'm running around the house trying to feed the baby and change the baby and put clothes on him and get bottles ready for the sitter and get all my books in my bag and make sure that dinner's planned out and put my lunch together and make sure I get a swig of coffee and something to eat, all while holding a five-month-old baby in my arms. And then there's Charlie, and she is sitting by the back door giving me the saddest guilt eyes that I have ever seen. And I look at her as I run out the door in the morning, and I tell her, Charlie, I will take you out when I get home. And she looks back at me with the biggest brown eyes, and she says, Lauren, words are cheap. Words don't mean much unless they are backed by action. We've been looking at the parables in Matthew this semester in chapel. Do you remember what a parable is? It's a simple story that has a spiritual message. It's one of Jesus' favorite ways to teach, and it's one of Trigvi's favorite ways to think, a metaphor that has a meaning. So let's listen to our story this morning from Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. So if you've got your Bibles, I invite you to pull those out and open up to Matthew 21. Jesus went into the temple, and as he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders came up to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked him. Who gave you this right? Well, I'm going to ask you one question, Jesus replied. And if you tell me the answer, then I will tell you the answer by what right I'm doing these things. Where did John's baptism come from? Was it from heaven or was it from this world? He asked them. Well, they debated these things. And then they answered, Jesus, we don't know. Well then, said Jesus, nor will I tell you by what right I am doing these things. What do you think? He said to them. Once upon a time, there was a man who had two sons. He went to the first son and said, Now then, my boy, off you go, do a day's work in the vineyard. Don't want to, the son replied. But afterwards, he thought about it again, and he thought better of it and went. The father went to the other son and said the same thing. "Certainly, master," the son said, but he didn't go. So which of the two did what the father wanted? Jesus asked them. "The first," they answered. "I'm telling you the truth," Jesus said to them. "The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom ahead of you. Yes, John came to you in accordance with God's covenant plan, and you didn't believe him. The tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, but when you saw it, you didn't change your minds and believe him." This is the word of the Lord. Two sons, one who refuses his father at first, but then later changes his mind and gets to work. And the other son, who says he'll help, but actually doesn't. This is the simple story that illustrates the spiritual message that most obviously is this: words are cheap if they're not backed by action. Saying you'll take the dog out doesn't mean much unless you actually take the dog out. Jesus is telling us this in this parable, that he wants our obedience, not just our lip service. It's his basic message. But if we dig a little bit deeper, I think there's an interesting point to pull out here. Circle back to the last part of this passage. After telling this story, Jesus delivers the punchline to these faith leaders when he says, "I'm telling you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom ahead of you. They believed. You didn't." You see, what I think is interesting here is noticing what type of person is more likely to cling to these empty words, and what type of person is more likely to actually follow Jesus. In this story, it's the elders and the priests versus the tax collectors and the prostitutes. It's the religious leaders versus the social outcasts, those who are zealous for God and those whom we are sure are not entering God's kingdom. So what does this mean for us? Maybe, where do you see yourself in this story? You playing gatekeeper with the kingdom of God? Are you giving lip service in worship, but actually you're not living your life accordingly? Have you maybe heard the gospel and changed your mind, but you feel like an outcast, like you don't fit in? Well, here's one thing that I think this story does mean. Jesus' logic is different than ours. His grid, his reasoning is different. It's not based on sinfulness and sinlessness. Rather, it's based on faithfulness, on realizing that we are in a desperate need for God and letting our lives show that, and not just our speech. In view of God's mercy and God's grace, we are to offer our bodies, our whole lives, as living sacrifices to God. John Calvin says it this way about this parable: "We learn that faith does not consist merely in a person giving subscription to a true doctrine, but also includes something greater and deeper. The hearer is to deny himself or herself and commit their whole life to God." So, friends, know Jesus. Know the truth of the gospel. But more importantly, demonstrate this truth with your lives today. Go in peace.